I want to share a few thoughts with you before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. Moses was standing beside the Red Sea, and just as God commanded, he lifted up his arms and the staff of God in his hand. And the Bible said God blew an east wind through and parted the waters of the Red Sea, and God's people went across on dry ground, and the Egyptian army pursued. But as they came into the seabed, the waters covered them again. They were destroyed, and God's people had made it safely on the other side. Praise God, they had been delivered from bondage in Egypt. And life was happy ever after, right? No. No, you see, now the hard work began of learning how to live to be the people of God. And that's where they had to pick up. But as a free people, God knew the Israelites would often fail in their relationship to Him. And so they would need commandments. They would need laws to govern them. Now the laws were not to enslave them again like they'd been enslaved in Egypt. The laws were designed to set them free. You see, the laws were given and the commandments were given by God to Israel so that they would learn to value what God values, the purpose of them. And so we have critics of the Bible looking at some of those laws in the Old Testament. Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, it makes God look silly. No. God is teaching His people to value what He values. That's the purpose of laws. We have laws in our country not to keep us from doing what we want. It's a reminder we are bound together in community. And we need laws to protect us, such as food guidelines and medical procedures and guidelines for doctors and driving on the proper side of the road. And we have guidelines like that to protect us, but also teach us to value things. And so He gave them commandments and laws. And He also knew that Israel from time to time would need visible reminders, things they could look at to say, yes, I remember what happened when I see that. And so he gave them visible reminders of who He was and of what He had done. And so they're trying to learn how to live as the people of God. You see, they're in the wilderness and they're on their way to the promised land. And they're learning. So we come to Deuteronomy chapter 16. The leader is Moses, and he recounts to the people, Israel, what they were to do as the people of God, how they were to do it, and why they were to do it. And so in chapters 12 through 25, Moses told the people of God, the specific laws were given to you to help you subordinate every other thing in your life to Yahweh. And to eradicate anything that would threaten the pure devotion to God. And folks, that's our story. Their story is your story. And my story. Yes, as believers, we have been rescued from bondage to sin and death through Jesus Christ. But now that we are into life, we're learning how to live as the people of God. And so in order to do that, God has given us a book of commandments and a book of laws, not so I can look at it and say, I don't like that, I want to reinterpret that, that's not who I am today, but a book to tell us this is how we value what God values, by living by those. And as a free people, we often fail. And we need visible reminders of what He's done and who He is. And so we're really in the wilderness, headed to the promised land. And we too, as God's people today, must subordinate every area of our lives to eradicate anything that would threaten our pure devotion to God. We're like they are. So I want you to listen to what God told Moses to tell the people. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. Observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Aviv, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. And you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God from the flock of the herd at the place that the Lord will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with the unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. No leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the flesh that your sacrifice, or rather, no leaven, the territory, for 7 days, nor shall any of the flesh that you sacrifice on the evening of the first day remain all night until morning. Listen to what God told Moses to tell the people. Every year during the month of Aviv, that corresponds to what we know as mid-March to mid-April. During the month of Aviv, I want you to do something to remember me bringing you out of Egypt, the Red Sea parting, and you becoming free. I want you to remember that. Because it was at night during the month of Aviv that I delivered you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God. Go to your flock and choose the very best lamb you have. The most perfect lamb you can find in your flock. You choose. And then I want you to take it to the place God chooses. And I want you to sacrifice it. Take it by the throat, lift up the head, slice the throat. The blood from the pure, spotless lamb, best lamb you have, will fall upon the altar, and you Hebrews will not die because the lamb died in your place. It's called the Paschal Lamb. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the evening sacrifice. And I want you to eat that lamb, cook it, and eat it with bitter herbs and matzah bread every night for 7 days. Now, the bread is to be unleavened. That means it does not rise. It does not have any yeast in it where you have to wait on it to rise. You eat unleavened bread because you left Egypt in haste. I want you to remember that. So eat it quickly and leave. It's a reminder of your hasty exit from Egypt. So, for years, the Jews did just that. On the Jewish calendar, the month of Aviv, they would gather, they would choose the lamb, they would sacrifice the lamb, and they would take the bread that was God called the bread of affliction, and they would do it as a part of what was called the Haggadah, the reading. They would read the account of God delivering them from Egypt. And here's what they did. As soon as the meal was ready, they would make the preparation for the lamb. Bread was ready. They're ready to eat. They would make a declaration, and they would shout, "Everyone who's needy and everyone who's hungry, come, it's prepared. Let's eat." And they were to do this once a year. Now, there was one Jewish rabbi by the name of Rav Huna. He lived during the Talmudic period of Israeli history. And here's what he did. He led a group of Jews in Babylon, Mesopotamia area, about the late 3rd century. And he did it every single meal. He would go in, whatever time of day, he would prepare the meal. And he was, rather than just eating it himself, he would make ready the meal. He would walk out, open his door to the neighborhood and shout, "The meal is ready. Anyone who's hungry, anyone who's needy, come and eat." And neighbors would come and eat with him. Every single meal, every day of the year, as a reminder of what God told Israel to do once a year. And they would take the matzah, Hebrew word matzah means bread. And they would take it and they would hold it up. And God said, you are holding the bread of affliction. Now the word affliction that's used there in Hebrew, it's the word onai, O-N-I. It's from a root word of anah. Literally means to humble. It means to oppress. It means for somebody to deal harshly with you. In fact, it was the word used for rape in Genesis chapter 34, verse 2. And it was a reminder, Israel, whenever you were in Egypt, you were dealt harshly with. And it's the same word in Isaiah 53, 4 that said Jesus was afflicted. They dealt harshly with him. And they took this bread and they held up the matzah. And the bread was to be dry and brittle because that's how life was in Egypt. And the bread was to be undesirable whenever you ate it. It was to be unsavory. There was nothing that would bring you pleasure as you put it into your mouth. It was to taste like cardboard because that's what life was like in Egypt. It was unsavory. And that's why the bread you're going to take in just a moment doesn't taste very well. I remember as a kid taking the Lord's Supper, and I'd go, that's terrible. They can't now find any better bread. Then I put a little salt on him. Come on, you. I can find them some better bread. No, it's meant to be that way because that's life before Christ. Unsavory and dry and brittle and bad tasting. And then they held up this bread, and the matzah bread would be punctured. It would be pierced. There would be holes all in it. And there would be stripes, black stripes, all the way down it. And it'd hold up. You'd see the stripes. And they said, this is to be a reminder. Your life in Egypt was punctured and pierced. It was hard. And the Egyptians would take the whips, and they would drive it across your back, and your back looked like the stripes on the bread. It's your reminder. Life was hard for you in Egypt. So they would hold up this bread once a year. We never want to forget what life was like before freedom. And then they would take the bread after they break it right down the middle to symbolize life was broken at the very core of who they were in Egypt. They cried out for a deliverer. And they would take the bread and they would dip it in salt water. Reminiscent of two things in Egypt, sweat. You remember they slaved so hard making the bricks and the straws and they cried out to God, God, we can't do this anymore. We're sweating day after day to remind them of the sweat, but also to remind them of the tears that flowed in Egypt. The salt water, dip the bread, your body's pierced and lashed, dipped into tears and salt and sweat. Never forget that. And so Jews did that every year for hundreds of years. Fast forward 1,490 years. It's 30 AD. Jerusalem, tiny little room upstairs, 13 Jews are doing what Jews have done every Aviv for decades, centuries. But this time, something's different. The man in the middle, Jesus, holds up the matzah bread. And he holds it up and he gives it a new significance. And he tells the 12 disciples, what you're looking at is me. Not life in Egypt. You're looking at my body. Dry and brittle like a root out of dry ground. And unsavory. There's no form or comeliness that we should desire him according to Isaiah. Pierced and punctured and wounded and stripes across the back. And it's unsavory broken right down the middle, taken and dipped in sweat, tears, and now blood. So what you're looking at is me. And Jesus, being the leader of the Jewish community where he was, would have picked up the bread and said, anybody who's hungry, anybody who's needy, it's been prepared, come and eat. And break it. But if you remember, he had already said that earlier, John 6:35. It was Passover. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Notice through the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus, every Passover he did something with bread. Everyone. The loaves, the fishes, something with bread. Every Passover. Because it was the bread of affliction. And the disciples ate, comparing his body to the matzah bread for the Jews from Egypt. Now you may say this morning, well, Pastor, that's fine and well, but how does it relate to me? I didn't come here for a Jewish history lesson. But folks, this story is our story. It's your story. It's mine. Because just as they hold up that bread, we have so many people in our world who are needy and hungry, and they need to come. Some of them are physically hungry. 37 million people in America live in poverty. 23 million Americans live clinically depressed every day. They need out of Egypt. Bondage. Millions of Americans walk around every day like sheep without a shepherd. They're trying to find their way. 3 days ago on Thursday, the Gallup poll released a new research and study. How many Americans don't believe in God? It's the highest it's ever been since Gallup began polling 78 years ago. 78 years, they've never seen numbers that high. 17% of Americans now don't believe in God. 17% of Americans are atheists. 17% say we have no creator. We are the ultimate destiny of our lives. And they're led by two groups, according to Gallup, young adults, progressives. They're leading the way. And we have a culture living like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know where to turn. They don't know how to live. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to value. And they desperately need to see someone hold up some bread and say, if you're hungry, if you're needy, it's prepared. Come get it. They desperately need to hear that and see that. Because far too long, Americans have listened to the lies of the enemy that if you'll just be you, you'll be happy. If you just progress in your beliefs, you'll be happy. If you just figure out who you are, you'll be happy. You'll not. You need Christ, the bread, to deliver you, and you'll be free. It was a hot afternoon, July 14th, 1789, and the French citizens had had enough. Life was hard, France, for the common person. Their monarch, King Louis XVI, and his queen, Marie Antoinette, had oppressed the French citizens terribly. The king and the queen, they spent extravagantly. on other nations, the colonies of the United States and Great Britain and others. And as a result, the French economy was on the brink of disaster. There was no money. And King Louis and Marie Antoinette had divided up all of the citizens into three groups. You have the nobility and you have the clergy. And then you have 98% of the rest of the French called commoners. And so every time a decision was made, the nobility said, the nobility and the clergy would decide, and the commoners were outvoted 2-1. So they were oppressed. They had no food. And to make matters worse, there was a widespread crop failure in the winter of 1788. A national famine. Bread prices rose high. Very few could afford it. In fact, 88% of your paycheck in 1789 went for one loaf of bread. 88% of what you made went for one loaf of bread. That had enough. It's a harsh winter. They were cold. They were hungrier. So they started rioting. They rioted across the nation in French bakeries. They rioted in granaries. They rioted in food storage facilities. And finally, on the hot afternoon of July the 14th, they decided, we're going to the top. We've had enough. So they went to the top. They went to a building known as the Bastille. The Bastille was the symbol of French government. It was owned by the king and the queen, and it was 100 feet high walls. It was circular, and the king and queen would use it as a political prison. If you disagreed with them in anything, about anything, you were placed there with no trial date scheduled. You were just put away if you disagreed. It's harsh. And so that afternoon, the people gathered, 98% of them. And they stormed the Bastille, overran the 80 guards and the 30 mercenaries from Switzerland. And they overpowered them. They released all the prisoners in there. And they went to the king and they demanded one thing. And this is all they said. We want bread. We want bread. We demand bread. And it echoed through the Bastille all that afternoon. That's all they wanted. Bread. Because life is harsh. The French Revolution began. And folks, I wonder, how long is it going to be before American culture has enough? How long before they tire of the spiritual oppression that the enemy is placing upon them until they finally go to the top and say, God, I want bread. I'm hungry and I'm needy. Demanding. I can't figure out life, Lord. I can't figure out. I'm told if I just choose correctly, I'll have life. I can't figure out, Lord, if what gender I am. I can't figure out what pronoun to use. I can't even figure out life. I need bread. And they need to see a figure holding up the matzah. Proclaiming, if anybody's hungry, if anybody is needy, it's ready. Come and eat. That's what's needed. That's what some of you need. Bread. Father, thank you today for giving us a beautiful picture through the life of the Jewish people. Life had been hard. They escaped from Egypt. You prepared it. Life was different. And then, Father, many years later, Jesus came along, took our stripes, took our piercings, our punctures, and He became our bread. We have freedom. And Lord, there are so many today in our culture who need You. They're looking in so many places to try to somehow address the spiritual hunger, the emptiness of life. God, may they see the figure of you, Jesus, proclaiming anybody hungry, anybody needy, it's prepared. Come and eat. So thank you, Lord, on this Father's Day for being the greatest. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.